on.
15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, we got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
All right, how is your football Thursday going? Mine's great. I'm doing okay here, getting ready to get this thing geared up for game number 3, Sunday, Browns taking on the Bills, Cleveland Browns Stadium. It's Legends Weekend as well, so lots of great stuff there with Clarence Scott and Ernie Green being the latest inductees to the Browns Legends, and all sorts of former Browns players in town. Big golf tournament tomorrow out in Avon, and then all kinds of great stuff happening this weekend. A big Legends dinner Saturday night. So exciting stuff, to say the least. And it all couldn't be better, I think. Topped off, preferably, by a Browns victory. This show, we're going to have Bill Polian with us, the former executive, in fact, the general manager who got his start with the Bills and went on to multiple NFL Executive of the Year honors, led that Colts team to a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl victory, a couple of Super Bowls, actually. And Bill, of course, now with ESPN, Sirius XM NFL Radio, known him a long time. He's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Browns, studying this Browns team, and get his impressions of Brandon Whedon, of Trent Richardson, and the whole Browns crew. We're going to take you back in history in the Browns-Bills series. Steve King, our resident historian, will be with us. Also going to have Dimitri Patterson aboard. Going to talk about being part of that secondary, which, of course, is having its depth pressed heavily, to say the least. And it will be another big challenge Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, who have Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they've got a lot of big play receivers, right? Stevie Johnson and company, they come to town. It just doesn't get easier. You go from the Bengals, and you don't get a break. You go from the Bengals to the Bills. You know, a lot of big playmakers, and the Browns have to be up to that task. All right, we get your questions, your comments, those that you submit to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, to the Browns Daily Twitter page, Browns_daily, the handle on that. Email, daily@clevelandbrowns.com, voicemail, call us up, leave a message, leave a question, leave a comment, 855-363-DAILY. Is how you do that, 855-363-2459. Matt from Facebook, he says, last week I was ticked off at Brandon Whedon, but this week he really proved himself. I'm not even mad about the game either, Matt says. They all played great. We made Cincy earn it. We didn't give it to him. Richardson was Boston too. It filled the Hillis gap in my heart. Like that. As long as they keep improving, we'll have a good team this year. Yeah, I think you're on to something with that one, the as long as they keep improving line, which is what has to be seen from this. Major progress has to be made. Step one is win. That's the progress that I think has to be first and foremost, because it just the urgency is there. Game three, you're 0-2, and yeah, you look better in week two, but now, and it was fun to talk about that, and a lot of you, and there's still a whole bunch of comments and questions that we receive related to how much better the team looked from week one to week two offensively. And, you know, I think it now leaves that emptiness unless you can now fill in a win. Now you got to see victory. And I'm not going to consider the alternative. The alternative is something you always consider, and it still would mean there were 13 games left after Sunday's game, but just all the focus is on getting this thing, getting that first win, and showing that there's a payoff for the improvement that we believe we see, especially again on the offensive side of the ball. Christy from Facebook, she says she can't wait for this game. Her husband, or she says my husband, but it's her husband, not mine, is a huge Bills fan. She says he grew up in Rochester, New York, which, of course, is, just about, I'm very familiar with that. down the road was about 4 hours from here, and he's down 90. He says, and I'm a Browns fan, so this is a pretty big game for our house. You know, there's a lot of that's happening because of the proximity of these teams. It's an interesting rivalry. Steve King, we're going to get into the history of that, how close these games have been, especially in recent years, the last four meetings these teams have had. 8 points or fewer have been the deciding margin. And I know Rochester, New York has been a place where a lot of Browns fans have been located. In my years in Buffalo, I would come across that the Browns were a team that people adopted before Buffalo got a team. And there were a fair share of people in the Western New York Buffalo area who rooted for the Browns before they rooted for the Bills. And it became kind of family tradition to go to Browns games from there, because again, it was a reasonable drive, only a few hours away, and there will be a very strong representation from Buffalo, I know, at this game. I know I was bombarded with a lot of requests from very good friends and family that are still there for me. Craig from and what a pain in the neck that is, but that's why you have a wife. Craig from Facebook, he says he's tired of moral victories. If there was a league for moral victories, we'd be the freaking Super Bowl champs, Craig says. I like that, Craig. Yeah, I agree with you, too. And I'm kind of tired of those myself. We can talk about them. We can analyze them. We do all that. But a moral victory really is just a loss with some, rouge on it, lipstick on it. That's about all it is. It's prettying up a loss, and they're pretty hard to pretty up. You can try, and sometimes for our own sanity we do, but you definitely, there's only so many of those you can deal with, and we've dealt with more than our share following this Browns team. So, all right, we've got much more coming up for you. A conversation with as knowledgeable a football guy as there really is on this planet. I'm not saying that just because we've known each other a long, long time, but this guy, you got to listen to this guy. When he speaks, you listen. Bill Polian from ESPN, former NFL executive, joining us next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're buying Emmy a Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
Oh, she's 18, straight A's. We promised.
Yeah. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Home.
Is this the year your business doubles in size? Or maybe triples? At First Merit Bank, we'll tailor a solution to meet the unique needs of your business. With a full range of business lending solutions for buying your own building, financing a new piece of equipment, or establishing a line of credit, our business is helping you grow yours. Call us today to start the conversation at 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Subject to credit approval.
Hey Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your ways. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Hey Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
Inside Eastside Volkswagen sales manager Ben Mendoza's shower.
Don't stop till you shop Eastside.
Ben, enough already. Everyone knows don't stop till you shop Eastside by now.
I know, honey. I'm just practicing for our September Volkswagen commercial.
So what's the big deal this month?
Honey, we're out to sell 100 new VWs, so we're offering 0% financing on all new 2012 and select 2013 models.
0%? Which models and how long?
2012 Tiguans, Touaregs, Beetles, Rutans, and 2013 CCs are 0% for 72 months.
6 years, same as cash? That's worth saying about.
Plus, we still have our secret weapon, the $1,000 best price, best trade-in guarantee.
Step aside, let's do a duet.
Don't stop till you shop Eastside.
Don't stop till you shop the home of the $1,000 best price guarantee. Eastside Volkswagen in Willoughby Hills or on the web at eastsidevw.com. 0% with Tier 1 credit on all new Volkswagens.
Nothing better than Motown any day, so we do them on Thursdays, we do them on Fridays. We have to do them on Thursdays because it's the preference of my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, who is on high school duty on Fridays. So the Motown Fridays get moved to Thursdays with him, but we can still do Motown Fridays. And guess what else we're doing on Friday? Tomorrow, that is. We're going to be at the PNC Bank in Mentor, 7940 Plaza Boulevard, for the Browns tailgate party. Starts at 4 p.m., the event. 4 to 7:30 is the tailgate party. Yours truly will be there with this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 6 to 7 p.m. Hanford Dixon will be along with me as well, and he'll sign autographs and, again, be part of this show. Complimentary food and beverages will be on hand for you. Chomps, the mascot for the Browns, he'll be there, or it. It's a he. Chomp's got to be a he. So I don't know because I never hear a voice from that costume. 5:30 to 7:30, the junior. Actually, I know for a fact there have been some female chomps. Junior Backers Kids Club tent is also going to be there as well. Hourly drawings for two tickets to an upcoming Browns home game. Going to have that. So you got to be on hand, and we love seeing you there. Interact, talk. Want to hear your thoughts on this team and on the show and whatever you have, because a lot of you take that opportunity when we get to visit with you. All right, that is tomorrow, again, at the PNC in Mentor, Plaza Boulevard in Mentor. All right, and this segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And we bring in with us now one of the former great general managers in the National Football League, a great friend and a great analyst now for ESPN, for SiriusXM, NFL Radio, my good buddy Bill Polian. Bill, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Vic, how are you?
Doing great, and thanks for taking a few minutes to join us. I want to start with your Browns takes. It's an 0-2 team, Bill, but it was a better-looking offense from week two compared with week one. And just looking at, let's start with the quarterback position, Brandon Whedon's progress in the course of that week. I mean, he was just a different guy. Your sense of how a quarterback is able, a rookie, is able to turn it around that fast. And I know, you know, the opponent has something to do with it. There's a lot of other variables, matchups, and so forth. But just on the basics, how do you see that progression?
Well, Browns fans are not going to like this, but rookie quarterbacks all struggle, and really it takes 4 years for a quarterback to reach the level where, you know, he's capable of taking his team to and winning a Super Bowl. So this is a work in progress, and you have to realize that. And I've said on numerous occasions, both to you and to other people in Cleveland, that, you know, I understand that there's been a long history of losing. But that isn't the fault of Brandon Whedon or Pat Shurmur or Mike Holmgren or anybody else who's presently associated with the Browns. And so you got to give everybody time to breathe and to grow and to develop. Now, that said, and recognizing that there will be rough spots down the road, it was very, very gratifying to see him come out and get the ball out of his hand quickly, to complete a lot of balls, to gain a lot of yardage, to gain confidence. He himself said that it proved to him that he could play in the league. That's an important step with a rookie quarterback, and he's being very honest. And, of course, I have had terrific experience with both Jim Kelly and Peyton Manning, and I remember them both saying the same thing, probably more privately than publicly, but this is a different era
yeah.
in terms of media.
Yes.
But you know, he's learning on the job, and he's getting better, and he's growing with confidence, and that's a good thing. And the fact, and the Browns fans also saw what the running back can do. I mean, he's really special. That highlight hit on the linebacker was really fun to watch. But more importantly, he's gonna be a dynamic player for the Browns. And so, for the first time, you know, the two really good players on offense who have the potential, and I emphasize the word potential, to be difference makers,
mm-hmm.
they're not there yet. Showed you what Tom Heckert and his staff and Mike and Pat and all the others saw. So, you know, a step in the right direction, no question. Now, the loss of Joe Hayden in the secondary is a real difficult loss.
Sure.
And that's going to be very hard for them to handle going down the line, because, you know, for virtually everybody in the National Football League, depth is an issue.
Right.
But it's more so with Cleveland because they're in a building process.
Right. Bill, I want to talk about that depth issue, but backing up with Whedon and Richardson, ultimately, and I mean, you get Whedon because of that big arm, and Pat Shurmur, you know, from that Andy Reid school of thinking, of you throw basically to set up the run. You want to take those shots, and they feel they've got that, you know, that guy to do it under center. But my question is, for the time being, does it make sense, especially after what we saw Richardson do against the Bengals and how much he was able to do really after coming missing a month of the preseason, the whole preseason, how do you see the dynamic of game planning and maybe strategy to help out Whedon? Do you see it making more sense that the running back is going to be even a larger part of things now than maybe he will be once Whedon you know, gets more familiar, as you say, goes through that learning process?
Yeah, well, you know, any good football coach, and Pat is a good football coach, is going to utilize the weapons that he has. And the best weapons the Browns have is Richardson. He's an exceptional running back. And so I'm sure they'll utilize him very effectively. Brad Childress utilized AP extremely effectively in Minnesota. And he's the offensive coordinator, and he and Pat will be collaborating on the game plan. And I'm sure you'll see stuff that's very, very similar to what they did in Minnesota, where they had a bell cow ball carrier who can make special things happen, and then build the passing game around that, and the receiving. I mean, it's no secret the Browns receiving core does not have a dynamic playmaker there yet, and so they're gonna do what they have to do to move the football, and that means getting it in the hands of the people who can, and Richardson is certainly one of them.
Bill Polian joining us from ESPN, former NFL executive, multi-time NFL executive of the year. Bill, when we look at the depth that you mentioned in the secondary in particular, and yeah, Joe Hayden's absence was missed greatly against Cincinnati. It's going to continue to be missed for these next few weeks. So what do you do as a team? I mean, what are the way, other than hoping that the next man up thing works and the young people, Buster Skrin and others, Dimitri Patterson, who are back there, Trevin Wade, the draft pick, can pick up some slack. But how else do you manage and adjust around this?
Well, the managing and adjusting is the appropriate phrase. I mean, that's what Dick Geron has to do. Now, he's very good at it. He knows what he's doing. He'll I'm sure go back to some basic coverages and work hard to let his young guys adapt and grow within some basic parameters where they feel comfortable. You can't get too sophisticated when you've got young guys playing back there. But by the same token, you know, pass coverage is pass coverage. As long as you don't get too exotic with it, it's not very different from what they did at the college level. The level of player that they're competing against is
right.
Very different, but the skill set and the techniques are not too different. So that's what I'm sure that's what Dick will do. He'll throttle it down a little bit so that they can function well. It's important, you know, that players feel comfortable in what they're doing. And that you go back to Whedon and and that showed very clearly last week. I mean, I don't know that they, I would have no way of knowing whether they scaled the game plan back, but he certainly was very comfortable in executing his job. And that's what Dick will do with the young DBs, and that may require scaling back a little bit, but as Tony Dungy always said, you know, less is always better if you can execute.
Bill, a team that you know quite well because that's where you first made your GM bones, the Buffalo Bills, faced the Browns this weekend. And just looking at that team and where they are now, they made such a great effort in the offseason to add defensive players, Mario Williams, Mark Anderson, to that defensive front to go along with what they already had there in Kyle Williams, Marshall Darius. And then, you know, knowing they also have a C.J. Spiller who's really emerged these last 2 weeks, leads the league in rushing. What do you see of this Buffalo team and of the challenges they present to the Browns?
Well, it's almost a mirror image in many ways. You know, Fitzpatrick has had some difficulties in the past with interceptions. He had a rough week opening week, and then they bounced back last week and played exceptionally well against the Kansas City team that is, to be truly honest with you, is very puzzling to me. I mean, if you, that's why the NFL is so interesting. Most people would have thought that Kansas City had a chance to challenge for that division, yet they certainly don't look that way in the first 2 weeks. So what Buffalo has done is said, okay, we've lost their big stud running back to injury. Let's put C.J. Spiller in there. It's been 3 years. It's time for him to earn his spurs, and he certainly has earned them. And as Chan said, if he's got C.J. Spiller and a big offensive line moving the football, he's going to run it every down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you'll see a run-oriented attack from the Bills, much more so than they've had in the past. And the less that they have to put Fitz back there, with a line that's not terribly great at pass protection, then, you know, the better off they'll be. Now, can they do that against a pretty stout Cleveland front? We'll see. That's an interesting part of the matchup. That's an interesting way to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Johnson is a big play down the field receiver, and obviously he'll challenge the Browns secondary, but pass protection is not the Bills' strong suit at this point. So, you know, that's kind of a yin and yang matchup that you want to watch closely. On the other side of the ball, obviously Richardson can run the ball, and Buffalo's defense is predicated around that front four. So it's a heck of a test for the Cleveland offensive line. I think it's a really great test, because they're going to find out what they can do in terms of pass protection and protecting Brandon Whedon, and specifically running the ball against a very stout front. So, that I think the two keys to the ball game are the Browns stopping the run, and the Browns' ability to run the football. If you can run and stop the run in this ball game, I think you got a heck of a chance to win.
Bill, you mentioned Peyton Manning earlier, and you had a chance to see him Monday night in that game in Atlanta. You were there for ESPN. I would like you to just tell me kind of where things are with him, because it was surprising, I guess, to see three, or maybe it isn't, for those who still are skeptical about his recovery from that, from that neck issue. Three interceptions in struggling to handle that Falcons offense as much as he did.
Yeah, well, there's nothing surprising there. Number one, opening games are always a little bit of an outlier, because good coaches spend time in the spring and in training camp preparing for the opener. And what Pittsburgh does is well known. I mean, it's not something that's a secret. They're a heavily zone blitz oriented team, and they can do that stuff very, very well. Well, you know, the Broncos were prepared, and Peyton was prepared, and they knew what they were getting, and Ryan Clark was out, which helped a little bit, and they really lit it up. And now they came in against a Falcon team that they're not used to playing. It's a cross-conference game, but they're playing against a coordinator that they're very used to playing, Mike Nolan. Peyton's very used to playing him. And guess what? Every game against Mike Nolan was a dogfight when he was in Baltimore. Now, I think we won all of them, but they were all dogfights, all white-knuckle games that came down to the last possession. And this game came down to the last possession,
yeah.
Actually.
Right.
Most of America didn't see it, thanks to the replacement officials. They went to bed, but those of us who stayed up saw a pretty good ball game. But
yeah.
For the first quarter and a half, Peyton was discombobulated by what Nolan was doing, which was essentially take nine creepers and walk them around, and then on the snap of the ball, release them into their assignments.
Yeah.
Two things happened there. The first is that Peyton doesn't have Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark and Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James to make big plays. His supporting cast is not quite of that level. And secondly, he hasn't worked with them long enough to be able to dissect what went on and fix it on the bench. They had to wait until halftime to get it straightened out, and then they did, and then they moved the ball, and actually Decker had a chance to make a play in the at the end of the third quarter that probably would have changed all the momentum in the ball game, and he didn't catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a ball that Reggie Wayne probably catches 90 out of 100 times. So, bottom line, there it is. But perfectly explainable, historically explainable. As a matter of fact, I said on the pregame show that the unknown factor here is what Mike Nolan is going to do. Will he bleed the clock? Will he make a move at 9 seconds? You know, well, he didn't. He used nine creepers, but you never know what Mike's going to do. And so give him credit. They did a great job, but I didn't think there's anything wrong with Peyton.
Right. Okay. Well, great stuff, Bill, as always. We enjoyed it, and we look forward to talking with you down the line.
Okay. Take care.
All right. He is Bill Polian from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no! Why?
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony!
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy!
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Home.
Wings, if you love rings and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get to wait to take a move.
Here's some math for back to school that everyone can understand. The Loop's 10 for under 10 bucks. Fill up your tank with the Loop's signature creations for a limited time.
Great times, great food, get too quick to take a move.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
If you're hosting an event this football season, then you need Hughes Event Production Services. Hughes Event Production Services is the area's largest rental and staging company. Whether it's a TV for your watch party, a stage for your tailgate concert, or anything in between, Hughes can get you what you need for your event. ESPN Cleveland uses Hughes, and so should you. So get to Hughes for your event needs today. For more information, call 216-361-4600 or go to Hughes.com.
Welcome to Bonefish Grill.
And that is how I beat Mount Rushmore at a staring contest. Midweek, an undiscovered island in between weekends. We're drawn in by the bulls at Bonefish Grill. But first, seek the shelter of a honey-kissed fresh apple martini. We start with Bang Bang Shrimp for $8.90. The Diablo Shrimp Fettuccine Bowl then ferries me through a river of deliciousness. The price of the trip, $13.90. Greeting us next, a bowl of shrimp and chicken pad thai. Asian rice noodles with a traditional pad thai sauce for $13.90. A delectable milestone in this odyssey. I start a message in a bottle. It reads, I'm here and I'm staying.
Join us at Bonefish Grill and enjoy a wood-grilled swordfish and pumpkin ravioli bowl topped with feta, crispy sage, and shallot brown butter, just $19.90.
Now that is a sword worth falling on. Bonefish Grill. Happiness here.
In Cleveland at the corner of Rockside Road and 77. Visit bonefishgrill.com for the location nearest you.
Some people, leasing a new car can make a lot of sense. For others, buying makes sense. But today, they're both a great deal at Mentor Mitsubishi. Drive a brand new 2012 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport with lease payments starting at only $199 a month. $199 a month. Or buy starting at just $15,900. $15,900 for a brand new 2012 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport. Just think of how much you'll save, whether you own or lease. And Mentor Mitsubishi has these loaded Outlander Sports on the lot ready to go. But when they're gone, so's the deal. Lease starting at just $199 a month. Buy as low as $15,900, including all available rebates and incentives. So hurry to Mentor Mitsubishi, America's number one Mitsubishi dealer. 8505 Mentor Avenue, 440-534-5000. 440-534-5000 or MentorMitsubishi.com. Qualified buyers with approved credit. 60-month lease, $199 per month. Only first month payment, title, fees, and tax due at delivery. See dealer for details.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this Motown Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you. We're going to get back to your questions, your comments, the ones that you submit to the Browns' official social media pages. But first, we want to give you this. Jameer Howardson, our own, had a conversation with Dimitri Patterson, and he asked him his biggest takeaways from watching tape of the Buffalo Bills offense.
I mean, obviously, they like to spread you out. They got an explosive young running back, this guy Spiller. Been pretty productive the first 2 weeks of the season. He's definitely a guy who provides explosion. You know, he provides explosion for their offense. Obviously, they have Stevie Johnson, number 13. He's a crafty, good receiver, good releases off the line. And, you know, Fitzpatrick, he plays hard. He's a tough quarterback. And they put up some points last week. And, you know, we're going to have to challenge him every play and make him work.
Defensive backs like to play the cat and mouse game against their quarterbacks. Talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, what have you seen from him on film? Tendencies, that is.
Well, Tennessee, I'm still watching film, so I can't really speak on it right now. Right now, I'm just looking at personnel, formations, things of that nature. But that's something I got to look into. But from what I've seen so far, he's a guy who, you know, knows where he's going with the ball. And his mind seems to be made up sometimes. But we'll see how that pan out.
And when you look at their first season opener against the Jets, what did they improve on when they stepped on the field against the Chiefs?
The Jets, I believe the Jets had 4 turnovers, maybe 5. So they turned the ball over. The Jets forced about 4 or 5 turnovers that game. You know, hats off to their defense. But I think they took better care of the football against Kansas City. You know, obviously that contributed to a W. But they took care of the football. That's it.
From a defensive back's perspective, and that you talked about the running back game, how do you prepare for a running game when your mindset is pass first?
For me, you know, that's the everyday deal. I just practice on tackling. Because the thing, you know, on Sunday, you don't know when a tackle's going to approach you, but you got to be ready. So you just practice good habits. And when that opportunity presents itself, you're ready to tackle, and you just take it as that.
And throughout this week of practice, what is your main focus?
My main focus is getting better, doing better than I did the week before, working on technique, you know, technical things, recognition, the little things. And just being better than I was the week before.
And unfortunately, Demetrius, last week you guys came up with the loss, but even though there's a win or a loss, there's always a building block, something that you can learn from. With that, what did you guys take away from the game after watching the footage?
Well, I mean, you know, this game is just 2 or 3 plays away. two or three plays can make you two or three plays, you know, it can cost you. And we got to clean it up. We got to finish. I've been saying that. We got to learn how to finish as a team, not only a defense, but as a team. We got to learn how to finish and put people away. There were some good things. There were some not so good things. But, you know, we just want to make sure that we have more good things than we do bad. Obviously, with a W, I mean, with an L, it doesn't seem like that, but we have a lot of good things, so we can build off that.
And as we're standing here in the locker room, the mood seems very upbeat. It's a work week locker room. From a player standpoint, how is the mood in and around the locker room?
I mean, it's business as usual. Every week is so different. You can't live in the previous week. You can't look ahead to the next week. You know, you just got to focus on this day right now. Conquering today's practice, the work day, and that's all you can do. No moping, no feeling sorry for yourself. It's the NFL, it's professional sports. No one's gonna feel sorry for you. People are trying to run a scoreboard up on you every week. So it has to be business as usual, win or loss.
Dimitri, thank you for your time and good luck to you moving forward.
All right.
It's now your chance to ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, we go to Facebook. Diane from Facebook says, besides the obvious, a win, I would like to see Trent Richardson run behind some blockers, not just straight up the middle into a crowd. I would also like to see Brandon Whedon continue to improve on his accuracy. And lastly, she says, the defense needs to be able to stop a team from marching down the field. Way too many missed tackles last Sunday. No doubt about that, Diane. I agree with that. Second that, third that, fourth that on the tackles. On defense, on special teams, an area that must be improved that was woefully, that was a huge problem, no doubt, against the Bengals. Regarding Richardson running behind some blockers, I mean, he's doing that even when he is going to the middle, just for the record. He's not just seeking, to get to any openings that he takes inside or outside, it has to start with blocking. And it was better. It was better, clearly. I mean, his 109 yards of production against the Bengals reflected better work by those guys up front as far as the push they got. And they're going to have to get more. This will be another, a more difficult test, because getting push against this defensive line isn't going to be very easy. They're good. They're talented right across the board. And it will take everything, I think, that this O-line for the Browns has to make some success there. But it's going to have to happen. I do think the opportunities to run well will be there with the aggressiveness, with the way this line kind of plays and how they are looking, you know, pass first, and they're coming at you very aggressively. And they sort of like try to get the back on the way to the quarterback is the mindset. And they anticipate, you know, the Browns to be doing some throwing. I also would like to see, and this will be another thing to help slow down that rush, running game will slow it down, throwing out of throwing to the backs, those check down throws and such will help a lot. And I think those will be there. Daniel from Facebook, he says, Vic, remember when I asked if these players can handle success? He says, I believe this group, I do remember that, Daniel, and I like the follow-up here. He says, I believe this group is humble enough to maintain when they pull together a winning streak. They're close. Yeah, I appreciate your follow-up, and I also appreciate the fact that you're expressing some optimism here after an 0-2 start, that we're going to see something different in the way of stringing some wins together, which is absolutely a must. And again, start Sunday would be the great place to see that. And again, I want that test. I want to see, as much as you're curious about it. I can't say I've had that many questions about people saying, can these guys handle success? They just want to see success. But fair question with a young team, what can they handle? The question now, really, how are they handling losses? You know, how do you handle two losses in a row? So Jimmy Haslam was telling the story when he was on a conference call yesterday with season ticket holders, Brown season ticket holders, and he did a conference call with them, and he related the story that he saw from the practice field yesterday, which, again, the portion of practice, the largest portions, are closed to the media, how Trent Richardson was addressing the team and talking about, you know, how he's not used to losing, how it's basically, for him, not two losses in two games, but maybe two losses over the course of multiple years. on a team that won multiple national championships, that he was a part of at Alabama. It's that mindset. And so how do you handle... I think it's about how these guys are coping with what's new for them, which is not winning, which is so far, and how much their jaws get set, how much that anger or frustration or whatever it is, determination, I think is the best word, can be carried onto the field to turn it into a winning effort. And focus on assignment and, you know, penalties and missed tackles, the little things that become big things in the outcome. You know, getting that right because you see the tangible result of those mistakes, that it costs you a one-score loss or a one-point loss the week before. Andrew from Facebook, here he goes. He says, after 100 yards and penalties last week, it's unacceptable. Oh, excuse me, more than, or more over. He says it's more than, should be Andrew. Need to find ways to finish games early. I concur wholeheartedly, Andrew. And, yeah, this is one of those games where the fast start, where the quick score, where the early lead, all of that will be hugely important because this Buffalo team is so explosive offensively. We know what it can do. You know that passing game. Again, Ryan Fitzpatrick, those receivers, Stevie Johnson and company, what they can do. C.J. Spiller, runner and receiver, what a threat he is. Can't let that team get up fast. Get up fast on them and get, you know, put their heels back. They're on the road. This is our place. This is our, you know, with the crowd. That's the attitude, and everything should kind of, hopefully, momentum-wise, work to the Browns' favor. All right, we have got a history lesson coming up for you. Steve King, our resident historian for the Cleveland Browns, we're going to talk some Browns-Bills history, that series. That's coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, which is driven by Liberty Ford, as you listen to some Motown on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I'm getting a new truck today.
Yours is fine. Why would you put yourself through that?
I do it every 3 years, lady.
No.
Yeah. I lease from Liberty Ford every time. And right now, I can get a new F-150 Super Cab 4x4 for just $199 a month.
Well, that just sounds way too easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Wings, if you love rings and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get too quick to take a new.
Here's some math for back to school that everyone can understand. The Loops, 10 for under 10 bucks. Fill up your tank with the Loops signature creations for a limited time.
Great times, great food, get too quick to take a new.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Nothing stays cold longer than a Polar Pop fountain drink from Circle K. The Polar Pop cups are made of polar foam. It keeps your fountain drink cold longer than any other cup on the planet. Best of all, you can get any size cup for the same low price, just 69 cents. So pour yourself a Polar Pop. Any size cup, just 69 cents every day.
Pour yourself a Polar Pop.
Only at Circle K.
If you need a good lawyer, listen up. Use mine, Russo Rosalina. Hi, gang, Riz here for Russo Rosalina, general practice family law firm. Joe, Gabriella, and Basil have been doing it for years. Two locations, too. East Side, Richmond Town Square. West Side, Parmatown on Ridge. If you suffered a loss of a loved one, Russo Rosalina can handle the estate for you. Injuries, divorce, bankruptcy, wills, they do it. Go to RRLPA.com. That's RRLPA.com, Russo Rosalina.
The Improv Comedy Club is proud to present...
From the Chelsea Lately Show, comedian and actress Lonnie Love. Come see Lonnie Love this Thursday through Sunday at the Improv, located right next to Shooters on the West Bank of the Flats. Lonnie Love. You've seen her on VH1's Love the 70s, 80s, and 90s, E's Wildest TV Show Moment, and True TV's The World's Dumbest. Now come see Lonnie Love live and in person this week at the Improv Comedy Club. Call 696-IMPROV. That's 696-4677 for tickets to see the hysterically funny Lonnie Love. We'll see you there.
Hi, this is DeQuell Jackson. Now back to Vic Carucci on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
How about D-Jax? D-Jax, two interceptions, one return for a touchdown, three sacks last week, three of the six that the Browns had. This man is playing like a man possessed, no doubt, and got to continue to do so to really, again, pick up a defense that is hurting. I mean, missing some pieces in that set, the biggest piece in that secondary being Joe Hayden. So more of that DeQuell Jackson performance is going to be needed at that highest level. And Browns fans unite. Single game and three game ticket plans are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to purchase tickets for all the exciting home matchups. Three game ticket plans include sold out games versus the Bills and Bengals or Steelers. Call 440-824-3434 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com today. And it's time to take a look at the history of the Browns versus their opponent. Of course, this week it's the Buffalo Bills, and Steve King, our resident historian, joining us for that. And Steve, it's been interesting, the recent history between these teams, lots of close games.
Oh, absolutely. They play them right down to the end, and I think that's very much symbolic of the two cities, very similar type of cities. They're aggressive. They go at it. They're hard-nosed, and it's not surprising that these games have all come right down to the end like that.
You know, the one that really, I mean, a whole bunch stand out in my mind, but one I can never forget, and I'm still feeling the chill, 2007, the blizzard that was going on here in Cleveland during that game. You couldn't see the field. It was an 8-0 Browns win, and you just wondered how these players could function in this game. I remember Marshawn Lynch, who was a running back for the Bills at the time, saying that I think it was either the Weather Channel or the Discovery Channel was the only time he had seen things in terms of the blizzard-like conditions that were there that he had ever witnessed it, and to play in it for a guy from Oakland, California was quite an awakening.
Well, I'm not saying I still have a chill, but can we start a fire in here? And you remember that snow started at about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, 10:30, you thought maybe it would snow, but it was fine. At 11 o'clock, it came, and it came hard, and it came fast, and it didn't stop. And all of a sudden, the conditions changed drastically from 11 to kickoff at 1 o'clock.
Sure.
And absolutely. You know, we've seen a lot of snow games at the stadium, but those two kicks, and we talked about it a minute ago off the air, that Phil Dawson made. Especially the 49-yarder where he aimed at the pylon at the back left corner of the end zone, and it curved like a Burt Blyleven curveball through the uprights. It was surreal to see that. It was like the putter golf where you're hitting the hole down the hill, so you hit it off to the left and see if it rolls down there. I'll never see anything like that again in my life, to see him make two field goals with that straight-on wind blowing at between 35 and 40 miles an hour.
And it's one thing to know the winds of that stadium, but how did he know them that day? You know, just to anticipate what he did. But, yeah, it pulled it right through those uprights, and amazingly so. And of course, the Bills also gave the Browns a safety in that game with Brian Moorman mishandling a snap, not surprisingly, the wind gust on the punt. So an interesting game, what you could see of it through the blizzard. I remember the officials bit more or less guessing at the yard lines and the markers when there were plays. Steve, too, take us back to the very first game between these teams.
Well, the first game that the Browns ever played against an AFC team was not the Monday Night Football game in 1970 or any of the preseason games like against the Bengals in 1970. It was a preseason game against the Bills in 1968 up at Old War Memorial Stadium, and I remember distinctly it was a warm, humid night sitting in the living room at home watching it and seeing the two-point conversion rule as part of the way they played that night, and it was 22-12, and that was back way before that, you know, you had the first game was a little bit of action, the second game for the starters was maybe a half, the third quarter was maybe three quarters. every game back then was a dress rehearsal, and the teams played to win. And again, you have to remember, there was still a lot of hardliners on both sides between AFL and the NFL, and they played those games to win. They may not have played that hard or that long if it had been the Detroit Lions or the New York Giants, but because it was the Buffalo Bills, and you played to the end, and I'm sure the Bills wanted to win too, because you were carrying the pride of your league back then. Not conferences, but league.
No, every game you were making a statement one way or the other. Steve, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here, Vic.
He is the resident historian for the Browns, Steve King, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're buying Emmy a Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
Well, she's 18, straight A's.
We promised, yeah. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Hey, Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland-area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. The last time you heard a home alarm siren go off, did you do anything? Sirens are so commonplace, they're ignored. The best way to protect your house is with the voice of a live person, which is why nothing's more effective than Alarm Force's live two-way voice monitoring. With Alarm Force, you get no charge live two-way voice and just $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Ohio's best choice for home security.
It's time someone put cold and flu in their place. Time to take back their little season. Football has a season, so do the holidays. Not you two. Not anymore. Because Target Pharmacy is like having a cold and flu-fighting ninja. Hey, flu. Hi-ya! Didn't see that coming, did you, flu? Surprise attack. Now you're not alone in your fight to feel better. You have a big red pharmacy ninja just waiting in the shadows. Target Pharmacy is your daily dose of flexum flu-fighting muscle.
Did you hear?
Did I hear? Boy, did I hear.
Just what did you hear?
That NTB is giving away tires. Two tires, to be exact.
Front tires or back tires?
I don't think it makes any difference.
All I know is that NTB is giving away two tires.
Simply buy two select in-stock name brand tires. Great names like Goodyear and others. And NTB gives you two tires for free.
You mean...
Hard to believe, but it's true. At NTB, you pay for two tires, but you get four with the purchase of alignment and road hazard protection on four tires. Of course, installation's required.
Four name brand tires for the price of two. NTB really amazes me.
Wow! How can NTB do it?
Well, because NTB is part of one of America's largest tire companies. NTB buys in volume so they can sell for less. Hey, where are you going?
To NTB to get four tires for the price of two before the sale ends. NTB. Why in the world would you shop anyplace else?
Sunnyside Audi is Cleveland's only five-year-in-a-row Magna Society dealer. With over 150 years combined Audi sales and service staff, Sunnyside Audi has the J.D. Power highest customer satisfaction of Audi dealers in Ohio. Check out their great selection of new and certified pre-owned Audis. Located off I-71 and Pearl Road in Middleburg Heights, with extended sales and service hours Monday and Thursday night and Saturday. Now offering a complimentary car wash, loaner, and valet service. East side, west side, it's always Sunnyside. SunnysideAudi.com.
Hey, be sure to join us. This show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the Browns in general. Tomorrow, we're going to be at PNC Bank in Mentor. 7940 Plaza Boulevard, Mentor. Our road show starts there. The tailgate starts at 4 p.m., runs till 7:30 p.m. This show, of course, from its in its usual slot, 6 to 7 p.m. But you come out, and this tailgate's going to include complimentary food and beverage for you, just for showing up. Browns alumni, Hanford Dixon, he'll be co-hosting with me on this show. He's a regular. We always hear him on Fridays, but he's going to be on location. So come out and get some top dog autographing. That he'll be around 5:30 or so. He'll get there before showtime. Chomps, the Browns mascot, will be there also around 5:30 to the duration till 7:30. Junior Backers Kids Club tent will be there. So absolutely have the kids with you. It's a family affair, as all these remotes are. And hourly drawings for two tickets to an upcoming Browns home game. Would love to see you, as I say, show up, talk with yours truly, talk with Hanford, talk ball, talk Browns. Lots to talk about as get ready for Sunday's game against Buffalo. Back to Facebook. It is Greg from Facebook, from the Browns official Facebook page. He says, Vic, why do you think Jordan Cameron hasn't been a huge part of the offense so far after a great preseason, and do you see his role expanding as the season progresses? An emphatic yes, Greg, to the last part of your question. I do see his role expanding because he has that talent, that ability to make big plays, and you saw it in the preseason, and I think it will evolve as the rest of the Browns' passing game evolves, as Trent Richardson becomes more and more a factor as he was in that Cincinnati game. I think that all of those things help open things up for Cameron. I don't see the Browns' offense, the passing game, going to what, say, New England's style is with tight ends being the featured component. It's still, I think, one here with the Browns that emphasizes the receivers, but Cameron and of course, Ben Watson, the two of them, will factor into what the Browns will do in the passing game. But I think I'd give the edge to Cameron as far as how, as the season progresses, how he would increase his role. And we talked about this the other night, by the way, when he was with us at the remote at Quaker Steak and Lube in Lakewood. He was addressing this idea, and it is about, you know, just getting a greater comfort level. Remember, again, this guy, you know, has not played a whole lot of football. His background was more along the lines of basketball, and he's learning and progressing as a young player, although youth is not an excuse, especially on this football team, but it does come into the equation when you're talking about what you're not seeing him do. But I think, Greg, you have reason to be hopeful that you'll see more from him and more from a contribution. Gretchen, via email, she emails us here at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. She asks, why wasn't a penalty assessed after Trent Richardson's somersault into the end zone after his touchdown against the Bengals? Well, that what he did is not illegal from a celebratory standpoint. You guys do that all the time on scores. The same reason you didn't see DeQuell Jackson get a penalty for, you know, doing that, a similar entry to the end zone on his interception return touchdown against the Eagles. What the league spells out in excessive celebration is when you involve other teammates, when it becomes choreographed, when you use props, that sort of thing but if you're dancing and you're by yourself, or you're doing a somersault and it's just you, that's fine. That's not considered excessive. And why not? Have a little fun with it. I mean, I think the thing that bothered people, and I've heard more than a few people bother, they just don't want to see a guy who's just come back from this knee surgery that he had, his second one since the end of his college career, you know, do something like that and possibly get hurt. And that's where maybe the concern comes in, where your exuberance, you might want to be a little more tempered. Susan from Facebook, she says, you do a great job, Vic. Well, I love that, Susan. Thank you. Listen to you on my Browns app, since I'm usually not able to hear it when you're live. All I can say about Browns versus Bills is the same thing we all know, and that is that it is a must-win. If we have any chance at least an interesting season to any extent, we've got to get this one. I will be so upset if they blow this game, she says. You won't be alone with that, Susan. But blow the game is, you know, different than, I know what you're saying. Got to win it. And there is a sense of urgency. I feel it. It's palpable in this building here in Berea, for sure. that you know how important a third game is for this team to show progress in a loss, to take that and turn it into a win. We want to thank Bill Polian. We want to thank Dimitri Patterson and Jameer Howerton. We want to thank Steve King. We want to thank Drew Boatner. We want to thank my outstanding producer on this Motown Thursday, Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow, again, from the PNC in Mentor on Plaza Boulevard, 6 to 7, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.